Support comes from the Norton Simon Museum, presenting I Saw It, Francisco de Goya, Printmaker. This exhibition features all four of the Spanish artists' major print series in their entirety for the first time on the West Coast. Now on view. More at NortonSimon.org.
You have the chance to win a Spring Super Sweeps from LAist. Donate $60 for one entry to win a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Check out all the other prizes, too, when you donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.
Hey, everyone. This is the weekend edition of the LA Report. I'm Julia Paskin from KPCC and LAist.com. On September 11th, Los Angeles Battalion Chief Robert Wilcox was security officer for the department's elite urban search and rescue team. By day's end, FEMA ordered the group to Ground Zero, where they worked 11 days amid the smoke, rubble, and remains. The 35-year fire veteran says the experience left a lasting impact on his life and his colleagues. Here's his story.
There's so much of that deployment that I remember just like it was yesterday. Before I went to work, the first airplane had hit Tower 1. We got there a little bit before 6, then the second airplane hit Tower 2. FEMA had its task forces on rotation, and we knew that we were up. We moved our entire task force of 72 people and all of our equipment out to Riverside Air Base, and then we were on a C-130. So when there's no airplanes in the air, in the whole country, actually, we were in the air because we were on military aircraft. At the time, I was a safety officer, so my overall job was looking out for people's safety, try to identify hazards. So I worked a PM shift, and as we were going in, the towers had already collapsed, and there was just smoke coming out of there. We really did imagine there's going to be so many opportunities to rescue people, but once we got on site, most everything was pulverized. There were a lot of spaces that we searched, and what we thought initially we were going to be doing a lot of live rescues. It was plain to see that there were no live rescues that we had, and it was primarily recovery. There was a large financial firm that was on the 102nd floor of Tower 2, and we didn't see anything in the rubble because everything was pulverized into dust. However, there I was, and I looked down on the ground, and I picked up a book, and it was from this financial firm about estate planning. And I just kind of thumbed through the pages, and I thought, I wonder how many of those people advising their clients to do estate planning, if they did the same. And I wonder how many of those people left their friends and family and said, you know, I'll see you tomorrow, and they didn't see him tomorrow. There was stuff the entire deployment that made me think a lot about that. The impact of the dust and the asbestos and everything else was far more reaching than what we were wearing PPEs for. The guys would take breaks and sleep on concrete floors that were covered with dust. We did decontamination, but it was a matter of rinsing off your boots with water. I'm in the World Trade Center health program. I've talked to a number of guys that have some health issues that are related to our deployment. Once you get into the World Trade Center health program, and they certify whether or not they think that whatever ailments you have might be related. And it looks like I might have a couple yet, but they haven't been certified yet. A friend of mine passed away last year. They think that his death was probably related to some of what we were exposed to. So it looks like his widow will have some kind of reward from the Victims Compensation Fund, and hopefully will pay for his medical costs and some of his end-of-life stuff. Everything that we did and some of the things that we ran into, at times it was pretty scary, pretty eye-opening. Every time anniversary comes up, and I start thinking about it long before we get to September 11th, but when this anniversary comes up, I wouldn't say 20 years later is any different than 19 or 15 or 10 or 9. It's the memories are the same. Part of what we learned from that incident and what I took away from it is that, you know, don't blink in your life. You can't think that tomorrow's a guarantee at any given time.
20 years later, Wilcox, now retired from LAFD, is a part-time Disneyland Resort firefighter. Meantime, his sons, just 2 and 4 years old in 2001, are following in their father's footsteps as a first responder. One works in emergency management, while the other is training to also be a firefighter. All 4 passenger planes that crashed September 11th were bound for California, 3 en route to Los Angeles. In the 20 years since, victims' families have cut their own path through grief, a journey they say requires resilience, inner strength, and courage.
She was smart. She was ambitious. I think she fit enough into her short 22 years of life that would exceed most people 3 times her age.
The most incredible, loving, sweet, caring, strong mom that I could have ever imagined.
That was Netta Bulorci speaking about her mother, Turi, and before her, Tom Frost on his daughter, Lisa. Frost and Bulorci share a common bond: losing a beloved family member aboard United Flight 175, the plane that hit Tower 2 of the World Trade Center. Frost says the hardest part about living with long-term grief is simply that the person isn't there.
Playing golf with what would have been probably my son-in-law and taking the grandkids down to the park, that kind of stuff got taken away from me.
Lisa, a new graduate of Boston University, was on her way to Rancho Santa Margarita to visit her parents. Frost says his grief has evolved over time.
The first 5 years, there was so much going on dealing with 9/11. Now things have calmed down.
But losing Lisa in such a public way brings emotional triggers.
It never goes away. It's every year you see the documentaries.
Bulorci feels the same. Her mother, Turi, was returning to Brentwood after visiting family in Boston.
To watch her get murdered on TV, that was the worst thing.
Catherine Scheer runs the Center for Complicated Grief at Columbia University. She says losing someone in a public way can compound the pain, whether it's the attacks of 9/11 or COVID-19.
So it's not only that the person's gone, but how they died becomes huge in the process of adapting.
Scheer says families of the pandemic and 9/11 also share a disruption in the grieving process because many were prevented from being with loved ones as they died. That makes grieving harder. Creating a ritual can help, like visiting a gravesite. But for a majority of 9/11 families, there were no remains to bury. Frost is grateful to the first responders who found 4 different DNA samples from Lisa, but Bulorci says they had no such closure.
They haven't found anything of her, and you just have to create your own tribute to her, and I tried to do that.
For Bulorci and Frost, the lack of a gravesite is tough, but making their own memorials has helped. There are scholarships in their names, and both have memorial sites in their communities. Scheer says creating your own tribute does soothe grief when it creeps up unexpectedly.
This has to do with finding a way to have a new kind of relationship with the person who died and how to continue to honor them, in a sense, to continue to take care of them even though they're gone.
She goes on to say, give yourself permission to grieve and find at least one way to actively take care of yourself. For Frost, running helps bring balance back to his life.
It helps control my heart rate, control my sense of calm, if you will.
Bulorci finds comfort in carrying on her mother's passion for reading.
I have always turned to books, and that has brought me solace.
But even with a healthy coping mechanism, grief will always hurt. Frost and Bulorci say, though, it can also lead to moments of gratitude.
And it's just a constant reminder of what a blessing they were in my life.
This story picks up on LAist.com. There you can read more about what 9/11 families want COVID-19 families to know about grief. That's on LAist.com to find my post. Tomorrow, our 9/11 coverage resumes with how 9/11 changed Southern California's Muslim community and how it affected a generation of Arab American activists. That's tomorrow. For now, thank you for listening to the LA Report Weekend Edition. I'm Julia Paskin.
The LAist Spring Super Sweeps is happening now. You can win amazing prizes while supporting your source for local fact-based journalism. One lucky grand prize winner will get to choose a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Other prizes include an electric bike from Juice Bikes and $1,000 gas gift cards. Your donation of $60 gets you one entry to win. And the more you give, the more entries you get. Donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.